as we look back over the past year, we probably are saying, you know, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. I didn't get that done. I didn't get the other done. And I should have. And especially, guys, if you're working on a project and you said, well, definitely I'm going to have this project done. And then you never got it done. It's still there. And so, but the good thing about it is that we have this year to redeem ourselves, to try to accomplish some of those things that we didn't get done last year. Today's message is going to be a little, if you want to call it radical, or the teaching, but it's countercultural. It's the exact opposite of what we have been taught. And that is, people in general, they love their independence. Our nation was founded on the Declaration of Independence, and we love it. You know, I got to be me. I did it my way. You know, and I don't need anyone to tell me what it's all about, and that is my independence, and we love it. And we think that we have been taught that happiness is the result of independence, and that is, if I am financially independent, I will be happy. If I am relationally independent, that I'll be happy. If I am independent in every way, then I will be the happiest person that there is. And yet, we have never been so unhappy, and the suicide rate continues to go up. Why? Because the independence that we talk about is not the answer that we are looking for or we should have. The truth is that happiness does not come from independence or from isolation. Living your life in barriers and in behind masks and keeping people at arm's distance, that's not the way to be happy. Happiness comes from interdependence, which simply means is that we need each other. We need other people in our lives. In Romans 12:5, it says, since we all are one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each other needs all the others. Turn to the person next to you and say that, you need me. Go ahead. Turn to the person, say, you need me. Now do that again and says that I need you. We need each other, and we just don't realize that how much we need each other, because we have been taught independence. But folks, God has wired us in such a way that in order for us to get the most out of life, that we need each other. We need one another to work with. And you could also call this community. Okay, community is working with other people and other people working with you. You know, community is the answer to fatigue, to loneliness, to defeat, to despair, to fear. And that's why we need small groups where we could get to know people each a little better and closer drawn to them. Let's look at the scripture, our main passage of scripture today, which is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 26. And I want you to to bear with me, it's a little bit lengthy passage of scripture, but this is going to lay the foundation or the background of what we are looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 26. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of just one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for the same reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, they are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need to be special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has greater honor to the parts that are lack of it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should be equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. May God add His blessing to the reading and the understanding of His words to our hearts today. Our focus is going to be, why we need each other. Why we need each other. And first of all, I need others to walk with me. I need others to walk with me. In Romans 12:5, it says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Paul went on to say in Colossians 2:6-7, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. The Bible calls this experience the Christian walk, where we walk in love, we walk in light, we walk in the Spirit, we walk in obedience. Genesis 2:18 says, it is not good for man to be alone. And that's why God created a helpmeet. So don't walk alone. God never intended this life so that we can just walk by ourselves. But we need each other. There are three reasons why we should walk with one another. First of all, it's safer. It's safer to walk with someone else. There is safety in numbers. And it is a whole lot less riskier if we are walking with somebody else. I don't know about you, but have you ever walked through a dark alley at night and you are afraid, frightened, all the hairs on your arm and other parts of the body start standing up because of the feeling. But if there was someone else with you, that probably wouldn't have happened. It's not only safer, but it is supportive. It keeps you from giving up. When other people are walking with you, they keep you going. Have you ever been in a marathon or any type of lengthy walk or race, and then all of a sudden you felt a stitch in your side and that pain just wants you to quit? But because there are other people there with you and they're saying to you, come on, you can do it, we are here to help, or even to hold your hand and help you along the way. There is an old Zambian proverb which went something like this. When you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. And life, folks, is not a 50-yard dash. It is a marathon, and we want to run far as we can run. Have you ever seen geese flying in a V formation? And I'm sure you have. The reason why they do that is that they can fly farther in that formation because it creates an updraft and they don't get as tired when they fly together. And so when we fly, and I don't mean literally, because you're not going to get very far if you try to do that. But when we fly, when we walk, when we run through life together, we are a whole lot less tired. It is safer. It is supportive. It is smarter when we run together, when we walk together, why we need each other. You would learn a whole lot more from when you go through life with other people that are very close to you. And I'm not talking about casual friends or casual contact. I'm talking about people who are in true fellowship with you. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, only fools trust what they think alone is right. In other words, folks, if I am the only one who thinks it, guess what? I'm wrong. And so sometimes you are just walking alone and you are saying, probably going in the wrong direction, and there's no one there to tell you that you are heading in the wrong direction. But if someone else is there, the Bible says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so it's smart, it's supportive, and it is safe when we walk or why we need each other. We know that community is God's answer to loneliness. We need people in our lives that we really know well, and they know us well. And that's why when we get into small gatherings like a small group, when we get to know each other in ways that we would never know otherwise. And so let's think about it. Let's plan to maybe be a part of a care group, a small group, or even to open your home to one of those groups, all because that we need each other. I need others to work with me. In Ephesians 2:10, God made us to do good works which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. God has given each of us gifts and talents and abilities, and he intends for us to use those gifts. And that's called ministry. That's where you get to use your gift for the honor and for the glory of God. But he does not want us to do it by ourselves, because we will get worn out. We need other people to work with us, to share the load. And the way we would, that way we would never get tired or worn out. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. I don't have to explain that anymore to you, because we know that more people can cut the time off in half or less. But we need each other to do that. I need others to work with me. And community is God's answer to fatigue. In Galatians 6:10, it says, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. I don't know if you have seen on TV, or maybe you have seen the movie Witness, where the Amish people can build an entire barn in one day. And that's because when everyone came together and everyone knows exactly what their job is, and they were able to do it, and they're able to get it done. And for that reason, folks, we need each other. There is this myth that Mother Teresa, the love person, going out there to save the whole world on her own. But that's not what happened. Mother Teresa had an army of her other sisters behind her working and helping to get the job done. It is said that her successors had an army of other people helping in the streets of Calcutta. She had people working with her. You see, together, each of us can make a difference if we each just do a little part and we get the job done. Nobody is good at everything. And so we need each other. And the key is that you need the people in your life who are strong at the things that you are weak at. And so they help you and you help them, and you work together and get the job done. Snowflakes are frail. I remember our first winter in New York, and snowing, and you know, you're seeing snow for the very first time, and you're out there trying to catch it, and before it hits your hand, it disappears. And then you try again, and you're sure that you caught one, and you're looking for it, and it's not there because it's so frail. But enough of them stick together can stop traffic. A few raindrops is no big deal, but hundreds and thousands and millions of raindrops can create some serious damage and problem. And we have seen that. I need others to watch out for me. I need others to watch out for me. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, it says, look out for one another's interests, not just your own. And that's what God's word is telling us. I need people who will defend me, people who will protect me. I need people who will stand up for me when I need someone to stand up for me, who will help me to stay on track, who will warn me. I need people to watch out for me. And those are the people that we need in our lives, and even when we say that we don't need anyone. Now, that is countercultural when we say that we need all these things, and especially when we think about our independence. Because in America, everybody says, It's all about me. It's all about my needs, all about my interests, my hurts. The rest of you, forget you, because really it's all about me. And yet the Bible says, look out for one another's interests and not our own. Have you ever seen a sign in your neighborhood? Your neighbor's yard says, neighborhood watch. You have seen those signs. And the reason why they have those signs in your community is that you are saying to your neighbor, or you are saying to other people, that there are people in our neighborhood who is looking out for each other. And you remember that when you're planning a vacation or you're gone for some time, and you tell your neighbor, say, hey, I'm going to be gone for a week. I want you to keep an eye on my stuff. It's always about our stuff. And so sure enough, the neighbor said, yeah, we'll keep an eye, because that's what it's all about. We work together. In Hebrews 13 and verse 1, it says, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. We should. And for Christians ought to care for other Christians. Keep on being concerned for others at all times, within the body, within the church. We need to watch out for each other. We need to always keep an eye, not only on ourselves, but you know, in a war, everybody has to serve sentry duty at some point. Where everybody else is asleep, but then you may stay awake to keep watch or to watch out. In light of all that's happening in our world today and even in our nation, and we are so mindful about being vigilant about terrorists and other things that could happen. But folks, did you know that you have a greater enemy than terrorists? His name is Satan. And he hates you guys, and he wants to defeat you. He wants to mess up your life, to hurt you, harm you in any way he can. He wants you to miss God's will for your life. He wants you to waste your time. And every morning, even before you get up, he's up before you and strategizing how he can get you to fall. And that's what the enemy does, to get you angry, to get you impatient, to get you lustful, to get you worried and fearful in these things that keep you depressed. The things that will pull you down. There have been many reports of since 9/11 and what has taken place. And one of the report that came out, and I like for you to listen to this, and I quote: "We learn about an enemy who is sophisticated, patient, disciplined, and lethal." Well, maybe that applies to the devil. It continues. "The enemy rallies broad support by political grievances, but its hostility towards us and towards our values is limitless. Its purpose is to rid the world of religious pluralism. It makes no distinction between military and civilian targets, and collateral damage is not its lexicon. Satan does not care who he hurts. Friends, family, loved ones, parents. You see, folks, Satan wants to hurt God, but God cannot be hurt by Satan. And so when he cannot get to God, guess what he go after? He go after God's children. When he can't hurt me, he will go after my wife, your children, your grandchildren. And so Satan cannot hurt God, but he wants and he can and he will hurt God's children. When we work by ourselves, most of the times we get defeated. Why? Because we try to fight on our own by ourselves, and you are never going to defeat the devil all by yourselves. You need people in your life to watch out for you. Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two men stand back to back and conquered, and three are even better than a triple braided cord is not easily broken. That's why we need people in our lives. We need people who are close to us that we can trust and be a part of us. The question is, who is watching your back now spiritually? Really, stop and think about it. Who is watching your back? Who is that you know is there in your life, who is close to you, and they're helping you, making sure that you do not fall into typical traps and mess ups that the devil has placed before you? Anybody like that in your life? But not only who is watching your back, but whose back are you watching? Are you watching somebody else's back? Do you have someone in your life that can happen? Why do we need each other? I need others to wait and weep with me. 1 Peter 3:8. You should be able, or you should be like one big family full of sympathy toward each other. What am I talking about? I need people to be there for me in time of crisis. When I'm waiting for bad news or weeping over bad news, there are many situations in life that nobody should ever have to go through alone. Nobody should ever want to sit alone in a hospital waiting during a life or death surgery. No woman should be able to wait alone while she's waiting back for a lab test from a problem pregnancy. No one should ever wait for the news from the battlefield alone. No one should ever sit in home waiting for the coroner to identify a body of a loved one who has just had a heart attack in your home. No one should ever stand at an open graveside. No man or woman should ever have to spend the first night alone when the wife dies or the husband passes. No man or woman should have to spend the night alone when the wife walks out or the husband walks out. And we could go on and on. We are not meant to face crisis in life all by ourselves. So what's the solution? What's the answer? This is what God's word says. 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one member suffers, all suffers together. A story is told about a man who died at home in his bed, and no one discovered him for 2 years. How tragic. He had no relationship in life. Who missed him? Imagine the despair. Nobody should ever have to die alone. And that's why we need each other. When it's party time, it's party time. When it's celebration time, it's celebration time. But when it's time to weep, it's also time to weep. We don't have to fix people's problem. All people want from us is for someone to be there. Will you be one of those people to be there when someone is going through some of those crises? 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage each other and strengthen one another. Why we need each other? I need others to witness with me. John 13:35 says, your love for me or for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for me. What does that mean? God has a plan and a purpose for your life, for my life. God has a mission for your life and mine. You have a life message, and God's mission for you is to share that message that you have with someone else. And if that message is not shared, it will never be shared because it is your message. This is your experience. In all of this that we are looking at, and we are seeing the importance of community, the importance of being in a small group, even to get to know each other better. Because that's the only way that God is going to help us to see that the importance and the strengthening of the body, not only for ourselves, but for other people. How do we know that we need to share Christ? What does God's word says? He says that our love for one another will show that we are Christ's disciples. Notice the scripture says, your love, not for me, meaning God, not for God, but he said, your love for one another, for each other. And that is the secret for all of us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, the Holy Spirit does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. This is like, hey, I want to invite you to my home. I want you to be a part of my life. I want the opportunity to share Christ, to show people God's love. The big question today is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of me? And we need to ask ourselves, how can God use me? How can God use my life to attract and to be a witness to others? God's answer to fear, to take the fear away from us when we witness, in Philippians 1:27, You are working together and struggling together, side by side, to get others to believe the good news of Jesus Christ. So why we need each other? We need each other to walk with us, to work with us, to watch out for us. We need the other person to wait and to weep with us. We need others to witness with us. As we look back in our lives and even this last year, and maybe, like I said before, we have probably come short or failed, but we have an opportunity to redeem ourselves, to do more for Him. And the question is, God, I want You to use me. I want You to take my life and let it be a channel through which Your blessing would flow through to touch the hearts and lives of other people. We need each other, folks. We should never say that I don't need you, or even in the smallest of ways, someone may be able to make a contribution in our life. As I pray, the worship team is going to make their way back on the stage, and Pastor Don is going to come and lead us in communion. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You for being our guide and our teacher today. We thank You for touching our hearts, opening our minds. Help us to see what You want us to see and to know. We thank You. We love You. And help us to be better people for You this year. All of this we ask in Jesus' name.